So what you saw right there was Tony Stark getting a boost, a power boost. How many of you guys have seen the movie first? All right. How many of you guys have not seen the movie? Oh, man, you got to go rent Iron Man. Come on now. Iron Man, all right. Tony Stark, he is this big guy, this bigger, larger-than-life guy, and he sells bombs and everything else to the military. And so he's out in the Middle East or somewhere, and he's in a military convoy, and he gets attacked, and he gets shrapnel to the chest. And so the shrapnel is trying to eat at his heart to destroy his heart. And so he's captured by these guys, and they put this thing in his chest. It's a magnetic thing to keep the shrapnel away from his heart, traveling to his heart. And so he builds this suit, and it's this crude suit that flies up and over and everybody else. And so he gets back to his home 3 months later, builds this suit that you see right there, and that thing in his chest is what gives him all the power that he needs to be this guy called Iron Man, all right? It's this power core, and what the movie says is that it has the power enough to generate 3 nuclear plants put together. That's a lot. That's a lot of power. But the Bible says in Romans 8:11, it says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to you, to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Wow. I mean, that is a lot of power right there. Now, Tony Stark, or Iron Man, he has this superficial thing that he made with his hands that was able to power not only himself and keep himself alive, but also powered the suit that caused him to fly and to shoot up the bad guys, which is awesome, all right? Now, as Christians, we don't go around shooting up bad guys, but but what we do is, what we have, according to Romans 8:11, is the equivalent of what we just saw, is that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you and inside of me if we're born again and are Christians. Imagine the amount of energy and power it would take to raise someone from the dead. Imagine that. Jesus did that all the time as when he was on earth. The Bible says that he did so much that no book could contain all the miraculous things that he did. But thank God that they did leave us some stories of Jesus' miraculous healing over people's lives. I mean, imagine the same power. We just sang that. The same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Lives in me. This power core called the Spirit of God, called the Holy Spirit of God, lives inside of us. And it just like the power core changed Tony Stark from Tony Stark to Iron Man, so the Spirit of God changes us from who we once was to who we now are, because the Bible says that he has made all things new in our life. He didn't leave residue from our past in us. He created us as a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, behold, the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So the power that we receive as believers, as Christians, has overcome the grave, and that power lives in God the Father. God the Father raised his son Jesus from the grave on the third day so that we may have life with God the Father. Amen? And we know that because of this power, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for us. And he pleads our case before the Father. Now, I told you earlier that what we're dealing with here with isn't a wallet situation. It's a heart situation. When God gets a hold of our heart, we become new. We're transformed into something different. we look the same. Our hair doesn't have a white streak down the middle of it, thank God. We don't wear a cape, don't wear tights, thank God. Apparently I don't wear shirts on the weekend, but we are transformed and renewed by our minds and the way we think. We're forgiven of our sins. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what used to overcome us, we now have a power source called the Holy Spirit that is able to cause us to overcome, not by our strength, but by whose? His. By His strength. And it's by His Spirit, lest any man should boast. And we talked about this last week. We can boast on pretty much anything. Randy was telling me a story when I put this on. He goes, "That reminds me of a story of a guy that won the most humble person in the whole church award. And they gave him a pin for it. And so the next Sunday, he wore it and they took it away from him because he wore it. Because he's so prideful that he had to wear his pin. They took it away from him. You know, we're good at bragging about stuff. We're good at not just directly bragging, but we're good about bringing it around. You know, we don't want to be just complete boasters, so we come in on the sly, and we like to boast. We don't admit it. We would never admit it, but we love it. And we can boast about what we can do with our hands. We can do and boast about what we do at work or what we've accomplished. And we can put up the plaques and post it on Facebook and put it on our wall. And by the way, have you guys seen that commercial that these old ladies are sitting around? And this one little old lady, she went on a vacation. And she said, "So a friend of mine suggested that I post all my vacation pictures on my wall." And so she invites two of her friends over, and she pastes all of her pictures, her vacation pictures, on her wall, on her living room wall. And so her friends are going, "Ooh, I like that one. I like that one." And one of them said something cross about one of the pictures, and she goes, "I unfriend you." And she goes, "This is not how this is supposed to work. This is not how it's supposed to work at all." But we can get so carried up in our boasting and our arrogance sometimes that we don't realize that we're kind of caught up into ourselves and confined to what we can do. I don't know about you, but we serve a God and a Lord that conquered the grave. I want you to think about that for a second. He didn't come out of the grave after 3 days because he tried for two and couldn't do it. He didn't come up out of the grave on the third day because he was struggling. He didn't come up out of the grave on the third day because this was the third time's a charm. He came up out of the grave on the third day because that is exactly what he said he was going to do. He could have, the moment that he died, he could have risen and come back to life. But he chose to wait. And that same resurrection power that raised Christ Jesus from the grave, we now have access to that through the Father. Amen? Think about that. We no longer have to depend on what we can do anymore. We now have an advocate that we can go to and say, "Father, I don't know how I'm going to get through the week with the check that I have in my hand, but God, I know the same power that lives in me has risen Christ up from the dead, so I'm going to believe that you're going to take care of the situation. I'm going to believe you, God, for healing in my body because I've tried medication, I've tried every doctor I know that I can go to, and so, Lord, I believe for your healing in my body. God, I need a word from you concerning my job or direction for my life. Lord, could you show me your will and your plan for my life?" And do you know what? He will do that. Because the Bible says those that seek me will be found by me. God's not a God that dangles a carrot in front of us that we can never receive. The Bible says that He, being God, knows how to give good gifts unto His children. And because of that, we know that He will not hold any good thing from us, right? So, just look at the Iron Man and his strength and how he can fly. And he, he always beats up the bad guy and saves the day, right? But Iron Man was wounded too. You see, Tony Stark, Iron Man, was wounded in a battle, and a piece of that metal, I told you earlier, got caught up close to his heart, and if it pierced his heart, he would die. And so because of that, he made this power core to be installed in his chest to magnetically keep that thing away from his heart. So you see, here's how it kind of works. Even though Tony Stark was broken and he had a broken heart, all of us at one point in our life, or you live a little longer, and we're all going to be broken in our life. Life is going to trample us down. We're going to get irritated. We're going to get annoyed. We're going to feel like that our life is completely over a certain couple of circumstances in our life, whether it be sickness, whether it be finances. And I was frustrated about, hey, I spent $900 on my brakes this week. Praise God. So excited about that. And I got to tell you, I was down about that. All right, I was down about it. I said, man, Lord, what am I doing wrong here? Am I not serving you enough? I'm not praying hard enough? What is it? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Jimmy, do you not have that in the bank? And I said, yes, but I want to keep that. That's savings. I'm not supposed to touch savings. And he said, well, what do you think savings is for? Stuff like this. See how God talks to me? And so we need to understand that God is our source. And when we're broken, when we're devastated, when there's a sickness that has come upon us that we did not invite into our life, when our life is on the line, when our marriage is being tested, when our peace is being tested, when our hope is being tested, when everything about us screams to run the other way, we know a God that supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And according to the Word of God, He is without lack. Amen. Amen? I encourage you today to reinvent who God is in your mind through what is written in the pages of the Word of God. Because anything less than that falls short of who God really is. The Bible paints a vivid picture of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And it's written down in the Word of God, not in Latin and not in Hebrew and not in all these different things, but it's written in our own language so that we can understand the heart of God. That when we're broken, there's only one place that we can turn to for healing. And God doesn't put a Band-Aid on it and call it done. He doesn't take some duct tape and Joshua won a remote control car at a raffle at school. And he got it home, took it out of the box, and it broke into two pieces. He was devastated. I would be too if I was 9 years old and won a remote control car that flips and does all this stuff. And so it wasn't me that came to the rescue. It was his mother. I told him, I said, well, I don't know what to do with that. So I set it over here, and Dana picks it up, gets some tape, tapes it, and it's fine. And then a couple of flips later, it broke and fell apart again. So I put some duct tape on it, and it flipped, and it's going to eventually fall apart again. But see, God doesn't take duct tape and fix our issues. He doesn't put Gorilla Glue on it and call it good. The Bible says that He restores and He makes all things new. That it no longer resembles the broken way that it used to. But now it is healthy. Now it is whole. Now you have peace. Now you have joy. Now you have a resurrected life with Jesus. And you have a power source that never runs out of date. You don't have to get a newer version. You don't have to get a new app. You don't have to go and buy it at Ace Hardware or wherever. But it's forever new in your life. His power source never runs out, amen? What He fixes completely. He makes all things new. Now, if you were sick, you would go where? Go to the hospital, you go to the doctor. Because you want someone you can trust to help you. If you have a heart issue, you want to go to someone that focuses in on the heart. If you have cancer in your body, you want to go to somewhere where they specialize in that particular type of cancer that you're going through. You do this because you trust these people with your life. And that is what God's Spirit is designed to do for us. He removes sin in our life that we could not do. Do you know you can't be good enough to remove sin in your life? You can't do enough good works. You can't do all of the... You can't be good enough because the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he was walking down the road, a man looked at him and said, "Good teacher." He said, "Hey, good teacher." Jesus looked at him and he said, "Why do you call me good teacher?" He said, "There's only one that is good, and that is the Father." You see how Jesus deflected praise and gave it to the Father? And so because there is none good, because we were all born into sin, we have an issue that there's only one person on the face of the earth, in heaven or under heaven, that can do anything about that, and that's Jesus. Romans 8:26 says this, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Think about that for a minute. God doesn't sit up there in heaven and when you are weak in your moment, He doesn't look down on you with this huge finger and say, I knew you were going to do that. I was just waiting on you to mess up. I was waiting on that chance when you were going to be weak. No, the Bible says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. He is there to pick us up. He is there to knock off the dirt off of what we call in the South our britches. To knock the dirt off of our britches, to get us back up and encourage us to continue on. That by His Spirit we can do it. Through His Spirit we can be made whole. By His Spirit we can overcome. By His Spirit we can find joy again. By His Spirit we can find health again. By His Spirit we can be made new. Through Jesus. Amen? Because in our weakness, the Bible says He is made strong. So what does that say? It says that whenever we are weak, we can go before the Father and say, "I'm weak. I've messed up. I did the best I could. I fell. I stumbled. God, I need Your grace. I need Your forgiveness." And God is so rich in mercy that He freely gives it. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't make me work for it. He doesn't say, "If you do this or do that, I'm going to forgive you." He said, "If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you will be saved. He will forgive you of your sins." This morning, I want to just tell you the last thing I noticed in this clip. The power cord was essential for his survival. Without it, his heart would fail and his body would shut down. In the same way, without the Spirit of God inside you and me, we would be shut down as well. Jesus is the source of our power and strength. And we can do nothing without Him. The good news, the gospel, the good news about it all, is that Jesus said, "Listen, if you are weak, I will be your strength. I will be your power core. I will be what sustains you. I'll be what drives you. I will be what provides for you. Trust in me." This morning, would you all stand with me? Lister, would you come up and just play a little bit? This morning, following Christ is not about what we can do. It's about trusting in what He can do. That's it. And it's very difficult to find that trust and to put our trust in the Lord, because for so long, our trust has been and what we can do rather than what He can do. I stand before you here today as a man that doesn't have it all together, and I'd never claim to. I would never judge my righteousness by you or my goodness by you. I stand here today because I put my trust in someone that has radically changed the very course and nature of my life. I haven't gotten it all right. I don't confess that I've said everything right. I've done everything right. But I do confess to you that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has changed me. I'm no longer who I used to be because His blood has covered my sin. He has made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. God has forgotten my past and has healed me and created a future for me, created a right standing between me and the Father. Jesus did that for me. And today, I'm offering that same thing to you, free of charge. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to plead for it. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is repent. So this morning, would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Maybe for some of you here today, this whole thing is a new concept. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins so that we could be free from sin, so that we would be free. I thank you, Father, that the same Spirit that raised your Son up out of the grave lives in me. I know that whatever I ask according to your will, it will be done unto me. That's not my hope. That is your word. That is your promise. And Father, today, I pray, Lord, that your word and what has been spoken here today has challenged us, Lord, to be focused on you and to put our trust not in ourselves, but in you. This morning, if you say, Pastor, man, I really need you. I need Jesus. That's all I can say. I need Jesus. If that's you this morning, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and put it back down so I can see it. I just want to pray over you. Anyone else, just keep it up so I can see it and then put it down. Okay. Hallelujah. Can I have some of my altar workers come up and we'll just come over to the sides. As they're coming, I want to pray over you. When I pray over you, if you want to accept Christ this morning, find a new life in Him, I want you to find some of these men and women of God and come to them, and they're going to pray over you. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I lift up to you the hands that were raised, and I ask, Lord, that you would give them the courage to repent of their sins, to turn and follow you, Lord. And I pray that they would know the joy and the completeness that is found in you and only you. Jesus, you are the only way to the Father. You said it. You said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Lord, those are your words. And so we rely upon your words this morning. Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I choose today to make you Lord and Savior of my life. And Lord, I choose today to accept you by faith as my Lord and as my Savior. Help me and give me the strength to live for you the rest of my days. to live for you the rest of my days. And I will honor you, Father, with my life. I will honor you with my speech. I will honor you with my giving. I'll honor you with my time. I'll honor you with my attitude, the way I treat others. So, Lord, today I give you what's broken in me in order that you may heal and restore my life. If there's anybody here today that's struggling with sickness and you need prayer and ask God for healing in your body, so I want you to come up and these folks are going to pray with you. And so when I dismiss in prayer, if that's you, I want you to come. And the rest of you, you guys are free to go. You're dismissed. Just honor the ones that are praying. And Lord, we just come before you this morning. We thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you are our source and there is no other. Everything else is a quick fix. It's temporary. It only lasts for a moment. But God, your Spirit abides with me forever. You are my source and my strength. You are my high tower. You are my refuge that I can run to and be safe. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.